Ayo, I'm deep like Bill Gates' pocket. I'm deep like the crack in the ocean at the city of Atlantis. I lost it. Ayo, I'm deep like the bottom is pit. The money conjured up in the air of our lord, so you couldn't hear the splat after you spit. My flows run deep like thoughts. When you look deeper than my eyes, I'm deep like the window open. To see how badly your soul's been damaged and your heart's been broken. I'm deep like the thoughts of Buddha. I'm deep like trying to find the walls of space. I'm deep like the partner react. I'm deep like the definition. I'm deep like an emission. I'm deep like the beats of sin. I'm deep like the cause of psychosis. Deep like a coma that makes you lie motionless. Like sleeping beauty before I kissed her and gave life to the emotionless. I'm deep like the kids, even the bats are afraid of sleeping. I'm deep like the soulless heart of a demon. I'm deep like the destination of semen. I'm deep like the infinite reservoir power possessed by He-Man. Color is only skin deep. The racism sometimes runs so deep. I'm myself sometimes.
Ja, nach dem Gespräch mit Ari Sitas über die, über den Kongress für Soziologie in Durban, jetzt ein Gespräch mit Bill Freund. Bill Freund und Ari Sitas kennen sich natürlich auch schon aus den 80ern. Bill Freund ist Soziologe, aber historische, ökonomisch, über die Geschichte der Ökonomie aus soziologischer Perspektive in Durban und ist jetzt emeritiert und hat zum Beispiel über Outsiders and Insiders geschrieben, und zwar die wie sozusagen eine Indian Working Class in Durban entstanden ist von 1910 bis 1990, und auch über The African Worker and the Making of Contemporary Africa und jetzt eben aktuell The African City. Und er beginnt sozusagen darüber zu sprechen, wie er jetzt die politische Situation einschätzt mit der Rolle des ANC in Südafrika, wenn es darum geht, die politische Entwicklung dieses Einparteienstaates, könnte man sagen, zu verstehen.
The ANC culture is an odd mixture of so-called non-racialism and black nationalism.
Yeah.
What else one can say? I think the older generation are very slow to change and are very stuck in their ways. See, the other side is that the racial situation was to some extent one of antagonistic nationalisms here.
Yeah.
And the whites are in another world in terms of money and culture and education and so on.
Yeah.
And they have with them still the prestige of the connections to the international.
Yeah.
In a deeper sense, may not be that the internationally there, maybe their politics weren't approved of, but their values are those that middle class people in Germany or England would understand very well, and they would fit into very easily. So they still carry on in many respects just like before.
Yeah.
And to them, the less that's changes, the better. I would say that's the. And they have the money and the prestige and the institutional roots to continue to be in many ways still in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
In the civil society.
Yeah.
They don't control the state anymore. So it presents quite a complicated and confusing world, I suppose, for black people who are moving up in class terms very dramatically. But what that means culturally, there's no one to really give much guidance. And I think you often get a very, I don't know, a crude materialism with fragments from the West and fragments from what your parents tell you and a bit of this and a bit of that.
Yeah. Okay. And affirmative action, this plays an important role, but are the Indians as well part of affirmative action? No, only the black people.
It's a good question. It's ambiguous.
Yeah.
It's interpreted by different people in different ways.
Yeah.
In some ways, in some situations, Indians have lost by it, and in some situations, they win.
Yeah.
It's
Do
difficult
you have an example?
To.
Maybe out of your research.
There's an Indian vice mayor. There's there are Indian businessmen who have the right connections who do very well.
So like this Bollywood cinema, what they will...
There's nothing to keep Indians out of the nicest of neighborhoods that can, you know, spend their money as they like. They can send as many of their children as they can afford to university. In particular, Indians often occupy key positions in parts of the country where there aren't that many Indians and there aren't that many talented black people around. Durban is different, though. There's certainly a sense of trying to prevent them from having too much influence and so on. Otherwise, they would be very dominant. If you pushed whites out, but you didn't discriminate against Indians, they would be the naturally in command in many areas.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you went to the Cape, you wouldn't hear much about Indians. You'd hear about colored people. And colors go on and on about not white enough before and now not black enough. The colored people are different because they actually are a majority in the Western Northern Cape. And they think of the blacks as intruders.
Yeah.
Unwelcome intruders. Yeah. Who should assimilate into their culture.
Yeah.
Indians aren't the majority here. They don't quite have that view. They're immigrants themselves and they know that.
Yeah.
So they're they're rather unaggressive when it comes to Africans.
Yeah.
So it's a different perspective. Quite a lot of Indians emigrate. Quite a lot of South African Indians go off to live in Canada or in Britain or wherever.
Yeah, that's right. And I asked some of the white Africans about how to make a career. And they explain then that it's very difficult. They all have to go to Joburg, or they won't get jobs, or it's too less
paid. True of everyone.
And So, but the question is really for Indians or for
Africans,
what they understood as career.
I think many of them would say the same. That, I mean, Joburg is so much the dynamic center of the country that it's where it was true even 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's become truer.
Yeah. So what kind of understanding do people have of what is a career?
Oh.
Is it making business? Or what?
Not necessarily. That's an interesting question. It's a big question that people don't ask much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for instance, one reason that there's emigration is because a lot of people are ambitious enough that they conceive of, after a point, this becomes too small a world, simply.
Yeah.
If you're a classical musician, or you're a biochemist, or a top psychologist, or there's a point where you simply, you know, this simply is a little pond compared to the big oceans outside.
All right.
And people have always left for that reason. Whites have always left for that reason.
Yeah.
And they continue to.
All right.
This one is in the art world. That one is a stockbroker. Each has its own story. But in every world, this isn't the equivalent of the big European countries.
All right.
And there's less attachment than, let's say, a Finn might feel towards Finland, whatever its limitations.
Yeah.
There's a feeling that at a certain point, let's try Australia. Why not? It's also an English-speaking country.
Yeah.
Why not? It's no big deal. And isn't a big change.
Yeah, still white Europeans are coming to South Africa and settle here.
A few, yeah.
I met a lot. Five. But
it's an interesting observation, and people don't often say it, but I think you're quite right. And actually, there's always been movement in and out.
Yeah.
People were leaving simply because of the limits on the place and the openness of it, say, 75 years ago. The difference is that the number of whites coming in used to be much more than the number leaving.
Yeah.
Now that's probably not true. It's more the other way around.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Just to come back to the Indian community here, Gandhi was made up his career as a political reformer in South Africa.
Well, he was brought here by wealthy... First of all, his father was the chief minister in a Muslim princely state in India.
Yeah.
He was Hindu, of course.
Yeah.
And he was sent... It was quite a wealthy family, and obviously were interested in his education. They sent him to England, and he came here because Muslim merchants wanted a lawyer. And he trained as a lawyer in England.
Yeah.
And he was the first trained Indian lawyer in South Africa.
All right.
So he came...
Then it's round of applausible. How is it possible for a
ja,
creature like you to exhibit a mass flow through the mad
energy? In der zweiten Stunde setzen wir das Gespräch fort und ja,
I stand for truth like I was reconciliation commission and submission under God is my mission. I ooze vision. I gave my tongue freedom of speech, so when I rhyme up on the mic I exhibit a loose rhythm. Many have tried to look inside of my mind, but don't they realize that Black Moth is one of a kind?
Ugh. Okay, let me get on this.
I don't know.
I'm better than Barney.
Yeah, I think he's a dick.